ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão é um culto. É coragem, que é liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com outra explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
Mas de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new season of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast. This is the ninth Benfica season that we'll be covering. As you know, one of the longest running podcasts about Benfica, Benfica Podcast. Here we are tonight, getting ready to start another season. My name is Alfredo Fumaças. With me, Cristiano Oliveira. Diz olá, senhores.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Dave, Alfredo, glad to be back for... What is here? Ninth season, as you just mentioned a few seconds ago. Couldn't be any happier to be down here.
Yes, and also with us up north, Dave de Oliveira. What's going on, Mr. Dave de Oliveira?
Good to be back. Summer vacations went fast, but always good to be back on here tonight to talk some Benfica.
That's right. So on the agenda today for us to talk about, we got plenty. Most of it is going to be touching up with the off season, but we'll also talk about preseason, who's at camp, the ins, the outs, also the league has released the schedule for the season. We will take a look, a brief look at that, and take a look at what Benfica got going on for the upcoming season, and we will be discussing it all on tonight's podcast. It's number 327 is what we're serving up tonight. So, as I mentioned, ins and outs, preseason schedule, regular season schedule. We're here to give you all the latest news on Benfica. So, let's start with the ins and outs, right? Because that's really where it starts. So, before even Benfica started their preseason, there was a couple ins and outs, and I will read over the names, and then I'll let you do your work by giving us some stats on these guys. So the ins so far, Chiquinho, which Benfica repurchased from Moreirense, he's a midfielder, and Dave will get into that. Caio Lucas came from the Middle East. Johar Cadiz came from Stubel, and Raul de Tomás, which came from Rayo Vallecano, but he was really a Real Madrid product. Dave, let's start with the ins, man. What do you got on these guys?
Yeah, so I guess we'll start with Raul de Tomás. He's been our biggest signing this offseason, like you said, coming over from Rayo Vallecano, where he made 65 appearances over the last 2 years on loan from Real Madrid. And he scored 38 goals. So this is a striker that we've signed for $20 million, big transfer fee. But he also has the $100 million buyout clause attached to him. So trying to protect this property so that the big sharks don't come around and poach him from us.
Yeah, before you get onto the other guys, let me ask Cristiano a quick question on Raul de Tomás, which is something that obviously everybody is talking about, the very high €20 million, that Benfica paid for him. This is a value that's probably never before seen. I mean, we had heard of Pizzi, who was up there. We had heard about Raul Jimenez. But Cristiano, how much do you think this is an effect of Benfica having sold João Félix for 120?
I mean, that is the million-dollar question, right? I mean, you do hear the rumors that due to Benfica's bad relations with Real Madrid, they kind of had to ante up the price here and had to you know, pay a little bit extra than he probably would have cost on the open market. Obviously, taking into consideration that Benfica just got 126 mil, or 120 at least, from the João Félix deal. Teams know that Benfica has money. So it's another one of those bargaining chips that other clubs could use against Benfica. And so it's the price of doing business in today's world. I'm not too convinced. I mean, it's, how do I put it, man? I'm not too happy about Benfica paying 20 million euros for a 24-year-old. I kind of have my questions regarding that. But look, if he comes in and he hits on all cylinders and he produces from day one and he's able to score some goals and help Benfica to some key victories, I think by the end of the season, we'll all have forgotten about the price tag.
Let me ask you this real quick. Yes, this is a value that we had never seen Benfica spend before. But how much do you think was really that Benfica was really on to this player, and this was a player that Benfica really needed to have, and as a result, they didn't pass up on the 20 million, regardless of the relationship with Real.
Look, I think it shows you what Benfica thought about him. Obviously, they were able, not able to, but they went ahead and paid $20 million for 20 million euros for a 24-year-old striker that they believe that he could perform in Portugal and help them out. And improve their you know what they've done in European competitions over the last couple of seasons. So I think that Benfica wanted the guy badly because you know otherwise I don't think they would have paid 20 million euros for a 24-year-old. Benfica must have been watching this kid for a while. At least as a Benfiquista, that's what I'm hoping, that they had a little bit more on this guy and they've been scouting him for a while. It wasn't more one of those George Mendes deals that we. You know, we hear about lately. Hopefully, you know, there's a lot more behind the signing of Raul de Tomas. And look, he's a quality player, scored 14 goals in La Liga's last place club. I did speak to some people with knowledge of his, you know, day in and day out activities at Rayo Vallecano, people that watch him play all the time. And they said, look, he's a quality striker. He's going to be able to perform in Portugal from day one. I just don't think he's going to be that superstar that, you know, you guys are anticipating. Because when Benfica pays 20 million euros for a guy, you want the guy to come in right away. Obviously. and perform from day one. Now, I was told that he can score the most wonderful of goals and then he will miss an open netter, which is very frustrating. So, I mean, right now, it's just a matter of watching him play at Benfica with the rest of his teammates, and hopefully he's able to perform. And you know, a lot of those open nets, hopefully he doesn't shank too many of those.
So what you're saying is like a Raul Jimenez V2.
Version 2. I think he's got a little bit better technique than a Raul Jimenez. I'm not sure he's got the same work ethic that Raul Jimenez does. But look, it's still early. I'd be lying to you if I was to sit here and tell you I knew everything about the player, which I don't. Very anxious to watch him play. And look, right now he's wearing the Manto Sagrado.
Sagrado. So you got to support him.
And that's it. I got to support him. And hopefully he comes in and he's phenomenal from day one. I'm just a little bit, you know.
You're skeptical. I'm
not a fan of paying 20 million euros for a club like Benfica.
But the jury's still out, but you haven't seen enough of him.
He's 24 years old, guys. That's what concerns me. If it was a 20-year-old, I would have been all up for it. Well, because I think
24 is still not at the peak of his career.
Yeah, but 24 years old and he's playing in La Liga. I would like to think if he was all that great, other Sharks would have, or other teams with more money would have come, you know, would have come for him earlier and he would have been out. That's why. That's my concern. I mean,
well,
due to the fact that no one else was really showing. I mean, I haven't heard of other teams showing too much. Look, I don't want to sit here and bash the guy. Okay. I just don't like the price tag for a 24-year-old. That's it. Doesn't mean that he's not a phenomenal player. We'll see. Like I said, I don't know much about him. I'm just being, you know,
cautiously optimistic.
I'm cautiously optimistic. And again, it's more of the 24-year-old and 20 million price tag. That's where my concern is. But if he comes in and scores 25 goals, helps Benfica to number 38 up, I'll be all right with the price tag.
Let's hope he's not another Javier Balboa, at least. Dave, who you got next?
Let's talk about Caio Lucas, 25-year-old Brazilian winger. I spent the last three seasons, like you said, out in the United Arab Emirates, where he scored 23 goals in 62 appearances, and he comes in on a free transfer, so we don't have to worry about no €20 million transfer tag associated with him. Free transfer for Caio Lucas.
Yeah, Cristiano, 33 goals on 62 appearances. To be honest with you, that's almost half a goal per game. How much do you know about this guy? Because I really don't know much about him.
Is it, you know, 33 goals against Liga Portugal caliber Mancos, or is it
Mancos
or like real first class Mancos? I mean, look, he's going to come in. He's I think he'll adapt. Obviously, being Brazilian, it's a lot easier to adapt to the Portuguese culture, as we've seen in years past with other players. I think he's going to get some minutes at Benfica. I'm just not sure how much he adds to Benfica because of all the options that Benfica currently has on the roster.
Dave, who you got next?
Khedij, striker, Venezuelan striker, 23 years old, who played on in Setúbal last season, made 35 appearances and scored 10 goals. He comes with a €3 million transfer fee, but here's a striker that has played in the Liga Noche last season.
Jonder Khedij, sorry, I butchered his first name initially. And Cristiano,
that's a theme here on the podcast.
He scored 1/3 of a goal per game. don't say that.
He look, showed flashes last year. He did show flashes look, last year. I'm not sure. Look, any of you guys, be honest. You think he's gonna be? No. You think he's gonna stay on the roster? You think he'll be an option for next season, or you think this is a player that Benfica will be loaning out in the next few weeks?
I absolutely think. I don't think he has a spot on the roster, especially when Benfica is looking for another forward, as we'll talk in a little bit ahead in this podcast. I just personally, I really don't think this kid is Benfica caliber, to be honest with you. But then again, I haven't seen him much. Last year at Setúbal, as Cristiano mentioned, some flashes.
He did. He showed flashes.
But that's about it. But for a team like Setúbal, if you're a dominant player, you're definitely no Diego Souza.
Yeah, but he might not be, you know, due to the fact that his teammates aren't, you know, our good friend here likes to put up Mancus. You know, maybe they make him look as good as he probably will be in a Benfica roster with PZ and you know, the guys behind him serving him up. I do think that there's a player there. I'm not sure if he's ready at this point, but I do think he's an interesting prospect going forward. What is he, 23?
23.
Yeah, he's 23, so he's not exactly a prospect, but not old by any stretch of the imagination. I do think that he might be of some service down the line.
Yeah, Dave, who's the last one?
Before we go any further, I have more of a problem with them spending getting five guys at $3 million, where these Mancus per se, right, where they're never going to have a chance to make the roster, than I do of them going out and spending a $20 million on a Raul de Tomás, right? So we've seen this in the past where they go in buy these players from the smaller teams in Portugal. They spend $3 to $5 million, and this all adds up, where they could have saved the money, put it towards a single player, or use it towards paying off the debt. So I have more of an issue with them spending the $3 and $5 million here compared to $20 million on a proven striker.
Dave, I'm okay with going and getting a guy for $3 to $4 to $5 million at the smaller clubs in Portugal, if your intention really is to develop them, loan them out, or whatever it is, but obviously to use them at some point. Maybe like this guy that got these, maybe he's not ready. Maybe he's a year away. I'm okay with that, right? Because at some point he's going to perform, and he's going to obviously bring many happiness to Benfiquistas. My question, my problem with it is when they sign these guys, the Patrick Vieiras, the Ukras of the world, and they have zero intentions of ever playing these guys, of, you know, these guys even being on a preseason tour with them to actually have a real legitimate shot at making the roster. That's the problem I have with these smaller buys. Now, if they're, you know, maybe a year away, and, you know, we could develop them at some point, and they have real intention behind, I'm all for it. It's the other guys that will never put on a Benfica shirt. That's the problem, and I agree with you on that part. If that's the same idea behind what you just said, Dave.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure. It's difficult. Yes, I do understand the concept behind a 23-year-old, and you're peanuts for him, and you hope that the lottery peanuts. Ticket. The lottery. Well, it's not peanuts, but
peanuts. You know. I thought it was penis.
It's definitely a lottery ticket that you hope you get straight and box on.
You get the cash shot on.
But other than that, we shall see. Dave, a guy that deserves no introduction is the last guy you're going to talk about.
Yeah, Chiquinho. So this is a player that can fit in that mold. We bought him last year from Academica, and then we shipped him back out to Moriense. He was a part of the Alfa Semedo deal, so he made 34 appearances for them and scored 8 goals, and we brought him back in for €3.7 million.
3.75 million for a guy that has already proven that he could play in this league. Whether or not he could play at the level of Benfica or even at the European level is yet to be seen. But he's a guy that even at a Moreirense team, which did quite well this past year, was a guy that was one of their best players.
Yeah, you could tell that this guy will have no problem playing in Portugal. Obviously, adaptation is going to be easy for him. No questions there. I actually believe it. Out of the four guys you mentioned, he's the one that I'm most confident in that will come in and add something to the team right now. He obviously, I don't think he's going to be a starter, but he's a guy that come off the bench, replace other guys to give guys breathers, can start games. And I think I'm very excited to see him going forward. You know, obviously now you have to wait and see what happens. But out of the four guys, he's the one that I'm actually most confident in and coming in and helping Benfica from day one.
Yeah, so out of those four guys, Benfica is looking to get a couple more, one of them being the forward, as I mentioned.
Need more than a couple.
And another one being a goalkeeper. So one of Cristiano's favorite goalkeepers, Perin, apparently Benfica is showing interest in him.
Look, man, these rumors and Alfredo – going back to, 5 years ago, when first time I was on a podcast here, there was rumors of Matia Perin. I was extremely excited about. Benfica's been linked to this guy for God knows how long now. I hope that finally there is some truth behind this. You know, unfortunately, he had some ACL problems. I think he's torn his ligaments in his knee for twice already. But nonetheless, when he's healthy and he's in shape, he's a phenomenal goalkeeper. And I think any team in Portugal would be lucky to have him. I just hope that these reports and these rumors that are coming out that Benfica have started negotiations with Juventus to acquire him, I hope that that there is some truth behind that.
Yeah, absolutely. On the outs, I'll run through the list real quick, and I'll mention a couple guys. Corsia, for example, his loan came to an end and Benfica decided not to activate his release clause or whatever it is. Yuri Ribeiro has transferred over to Nottingham Forest. Varela has remained at Ajax. Diogo Gonçalves is on loan at Famalicão. Krovinovic loaned to West Brom. I think this is going to be an exceptional move for Krovinovic playing in the Premier League.
I'm not sure. I mean, look,
you don't think so?
The one thing we criticize Krovinovic, his doubters last year, the one criticism of Krovinovic was that he was too slow, very indecisive with the ball. I'm not sure about going over to the EPL, a league that is known for their pace and their physicality, if this is the best thing. Obviously, if he gets through it, it'll be tremendous for him. But I mean, I'm really hoping that he is over his knee injury.
Yeah, West Brom is in the Championship, though. They're not in the Premier League.
Either way, still a very fast-paced league. The Championship, obviously, not the same caliber of talent and football.
More physical.
But it's just as physical, if not more.
More physical.
And very fast-paced. Aquí le pone pie para frente y correr pa.
So, Alpha Smith.
Look, if he gets through it, it'll be phenomenal for him. I'm pretty sure for his confidence and going forward for Benfica as well.
Yeah, Alpha Smith also to Nottingham Forest, and he's going on loan. And the other guy that
I gotta be honest here. I really be honest. Wasn't lighting the world on fire at Espanyol, but I thought that with Bruno Lage, I thought he would have an opportunity at least to do the preseason with Benfica. I thought he was going to have a bigger role on this team under Bruno Lage because, look, he's not a phenomenal player, but he's a good player. The guy could defend, he could attack. I thought under Bruno Lage, I thought he'd be able to stretch his wings and he'd be able to stretch his wings. Yeah. You know, he'd be able to cover a little bit more of the field. I was surprised by this. I was really surprised by this move.
Well, you also got to think is who do we have?
And no, I understand.
That center midfield position is stacked.
But according to, again, we don't know, but we've been hearing about rumors of Feja leaving for a while. You have Florentino. You have Samaris.
Jetson.
But Jetson doesn't play that defensive, that holding. It's Florentino and Samaris.
But considering the system that we played.
I know, but again, I think, look, as you guys heard me on last year's podcast, I think the world of Florentino, I think he's exceptional at getting the passing lanes and recovering the ball. The guy's attractive, doesn't stop. But I do think that he has his limits going forward, right? I think with the ball at his feet, he's very limited. I think Alpha is way better than I'm going forward, at least with the ball. So that it gives you a different look. It gives you another, you know, alternative for another guy to be in the midfield that could actually attack and go forward and could defend a little bit as well. I just, again, I'm surprised that
Por isso já tens lá o Jetson, já tens lá o Samaris.
All I'm saying,
I personally, the guy never impressed me.
Listen to what I'm saying. Let's pay attention to what I'm surprised he didn't get a bigger look in preseason. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that he deserves to stay. I'm just surprised that due to his ability with the ball at his feet, right? I'm surprised that Lodge didn't decide.
I don't think
he has
much ability, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And also, we don't know yet. This hasn't been confirmed, but apparently it looks like Janusz is going to hang it up, which sadly is in a sad moment. But thankfully, he didn't end up released by the club and somewhere in China just withering away or in the Middle East. Obviously, he was going to do well, but he was going to have a lot of physical issues. But I think from what we hear is Jonas is going to decide to hang up the boot, his boot, not just one boot, both boots. And he's going to be tied into to Benfica. And apparently he's going to be the ambassador in Brazil for Benfica.
It's a sad day. It's a sad day. This is one of the three best players I've ever seen play at Benfica in my lifetime. Right alongside Simão Sobrosa and João Vieira Pinto, I think. And don't get me Ricard. Ricard is phenomenal. Fiorentina. Come on. Aymar wasn't all that at Benfica as well. He showed flashes. He's tremendous on the ball. But we're talking about guys that produced, put up numbers. João Vieira Pinto, unfortunately, was there through the whole Vietnam era, but he was a phenomenal player. You know, Simão Sobrosa comes back. Benfica wins their first title in 11 years. Those guys performed. They played well. They put fans in the seats. They scored big goals. They brought championships to the club. Those guys, to me, are at a different level than everybody else that played, at least in my time at Benfica, excluding the, you know, the Ventus and those guys. I mean, that's when I was a baby. Let's just go. When I started watching soccer, this guy's up there with the best of them.
Yeah, we're not going to get too much into the João Félix deal. I think that enough ink has been printed on the João Félix deal. Everybody knows it. I'm sad that João Félix didn't spend another year at Benfica, but I wish him the best of luck. Just don't come back and score on Benfica. But now that he's an Atletico player, I think that if I watch Atletico play, I still cheer for him. But now he's gone over to the other side, so not much we could say about that.
He did say today in his press conference he hopes to get Benfica in the Champions League. It'd be fun to come back to the loose play against Benfica.
Yeah. Also, André Almeida and Florentino Luiz renewed their contracts until 2024. Florentino with an astronomical release clause. So that's it as far as ins and outs and even the renewals. Now let's look at who's at camp. Benfica started on the way. The 1st of July was the first year of the first season, the first day of preseason with the customary medical exams. Then we had a practice. One of the first practices was open to the pub, to the media. Was actually broadcast by BTV. Then on Saturday, we got to see, if you got up early in the morning here in the East Coast of the U.S., 5:30 in the morning, we got to see Benfica practicing live. So I'll give you a quick list of who's at camp. Goalkeepers, Svilar, Vlaco Dimas, and Zlobin. There's also been a couple B team goalies that have come in and have worked out with the team. One of them was being Dylan Da Silva, if I'm not mistaken. Right backs André Almeida and Tyrone Ebui. Looks like he's fully fit. He did have a stomach problem on one of the sessions. On Saturday, he didn't practice, but he's back with the team. Center backs Jardel, Ruben Dias, Ferro, Conti, and Pedro Álvaro, and Dave will talk a little bit about the guys that came from the B team, Pedro Álvaro being one of them. Left backs Grimaldo and Nuno Tavares is another player from the B team. Midfielders, face of Gabriel Jetson. Jetson's actually not with the team because he's recuperating from a fracture on one of his toes, if I'm not mistaken. Samaris, Chiquinho, Florentino, Dantas, Pizzi, David Tavares and Nuno Santos, these two last from the B team. Wingers, Salvio, Caio Lucas, Rafa, Jota, and Servi. Forwards, Raul de Tomás, Seferovic, and Cadiz. Dave, tell us a little bit about these players that got promoted or not promoted, but were brought to preseason camp to work out with the team and be under closer observation by Lage.
Yeah, so starting with Nuno Tavares at the back line, he's a left back. From what I've been reading, he is a potential replacement for Grimaldo if Grimaldo does decide to leave this offseason here. He made 13 appearances for the Benfica B team, and he also played with the under 23 squad as well. So he's a young player at the left back position. Pedro Alvaro, again, center back, made 10 appearances for the B team. And then we go to the midfielder where we got Nuno Santos, who's more of an attacking midfielder, who made 32 appearances and scored 8 goals for the B team last season. Thiago Dantas, another midfielder, 22 appearances and 2 goals scored. And David Tavares, another attacking midfielder who made 8 appearances for the B team last season.
Cristiano, looking at these names, who are you most excited about?
Tarot. Was that an option?
No.
No, that's not an option. I figured that wasn't an option.
You got Nuno Tavares, Pedro Alvaro, Nuno Santos, Thiago Dantas, David Tavares.
I mean, look, the Tavares guys, it's at a position that Benfica has been looking to strengthen for years now.
Left back?
Right back as well, right? Isn't one of the Tavares a right back?
One is a left back, one is a midfielder.
Oh, I thought one was a left back and the other one was a... So I'll take that back. But to stay away from that, let's just be clear. Thiago Dantas is the guy we've all heard about for years now. Obviously, there was rumors he was going to leave to Manchester City in January, I believe, right? He even got as far as getting on a plane and posting the whole video and pictures on Instagram, and everybody thought it was a done deal. He was gone. He came back. Luckily, he came back, and the guy's been absolutely phenomenal. He's a little guy, but the guy's a magician with the ball at his feet. I hear from people that know him, other guys, you know, the kid's got eyes in the back of his head. So that's the kid that I think myself and a lot of Benfiquistas are most excited about, because if he is really that special, you know, you could see that guy manning our midfield for years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Dantas is definitely one of the most exciting players to come out of Seychelles so far, the one with most potential that people are really looking with great anticipation. But he, at 18, he does think the game very fast for a player of his age. He's a little perhaps on a frail
smallish
side, smallish,
petite.
But he's a guy that, from what I understand and from what I've been told, he's a guy that's always been used to playing with older guys, and as a result, and as playing with older guys that are going to be faster, they're going to be more physical, he has developed this almost sixth sense to know exactly what to do with the ball a couple seconds before he even gets the ball. So he's a guy that gets rid of the ball quick, and it's always in construction, and it's always a positive. I also found this out, that he's actually a chess champ. Did you know that, Cristiano?
No.
As a young kid, used to beat a lot of older players in chess. I don't know if you knew that, but that goes along with the way he thinks football. So also, he's always thinking a move ahead.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so he's extremely smart, and that's what I've been told about Dantas. I don't know if there's a spot in this roster, but we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Look, he's going to have an opportunity to show Lage and everyone involved that we make decisions at the end of training camp. He'll be involved with the preseason. So very excited for him. He's a tremendous prospect. Not sure about being the best prospect come out of Seychelles lately. I mean, you have a kid in Jota who I believe will play a bigger part in Benfica's plans
greedy
going forward. I think he's going to have to adapt. He's going to have to learn that side of the game, because I don't think Lage will play him if he's not.
Well, in terms of money also. There was some rumors that he wanted lot of money.
Yeah, he does, but it is what it is. Look, the kid's performed everywhere he's been. Player of the Euro with the Portugal in the 19. I mean, look, the kid could play. The kid is an absolute gem, and he's going to be a star at some point. To me, that's the kid as far as all you're talking about, all the kids coming up from Seychelles. He's the kid that most interested in and most excited about, but I don't consider him a kid coming up from Seychelles this year because, as we all know, he got promoted last January.
Right. So after a week in training, this week we will get to see Benfica in action on July 10th. There'll be an action against Anderlecht, Belgium's Anderlecht, which is the game that we have seen so many years, the introduction to fans. And it seems that Benfica has kind of gone away from that game. Either it's that game or the Eusebio Cup that's not being played. But finally, a game that's being named as the introduction to fans, which happens this July 10th.
That's not the game that Dave's still waiting for in Hamilton.
Yeah, the Eusebio Cup.
And by the way, Anderlecht's coached by who? Vincent Kompany.
I did not know that.
Manchester City.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. After playing Anderlecht on July 10th, which is 2 days as we record this, it's on Wednesday, Benfica will travel to Coimbra to play Académica, and that's on the 13th.
Coached by?
Coached by Cesar Peixoto.
Very good.
I got one out of two.
You're getting better.
Then Benfica will travel to...
Coached by?
Benfica will travel to the United States to take part in ICC competition, which is will be their second year in a row in which they're part of this premier preseason tournament. I mean, this is the tournament to be at, and Cristiano has also, as always mentioned, if Benfica is the club of the stature that they want to be, these are the type of tournaments that they want to be at. So they will play Chivas in Santa Clara in California on the 20th. Then on the 24th, they will be in the East Coast of the U.S. at Red Bull Arena against Fiorentina, a game that Cristiano and I will be at. And then on July 28th, 4 days later, they will play AC Milan in Foxborough in Massachusetts, which Cristiano and I will also be at. And then after that, they come to Portugal, and the Super Cup takes place on August 4th. So July 28th is the game against AC Milan, and then August 4th, the Super Cup against Sporting at Estádio do Algarve. How you feeling? How you feeling? Are you excited that Benfica is coming to the States again, Cristiano?
Absolutely. Anytime we get to see our Benfica up close and personal, man, it's just a thrill. Whether it's preseason, whether it's, you know, a final, it is what it is. You have, you know, a lot of these fans across the United States and Canada to some extent don't have the luxury, or for one reason or another, they can't make it out to Portugal. So they have an opportunity to see their club play up close and personal. So it's always thrilling. A lot of little kids maybe get to, you know, to see Benfica for the first time in person as well. It's a great way for parents to introduce their kids to the Benfiquistas. And I think it's a great platform for Benfica to show everyone who they are and to expand their brand.
Dave, you traveling to the U.S. to watch any of these games?
I'm still looking at it. Flights are a bit expensive to come to the States, but
Should ask his girl first.
My car is not reliable to cross the border right
not
now.
Reliable.
But
car,
no
van, pack a group of guys.
It's almost just as expensive to fly. So still trying to make it work out. But
Dave,
yeah,
if you start walking now, you might make it in time, bro.
What's it?
Hitchhiking.
But your president wants to build a wall, so I don't know how I'm getting over the border.
Yeah, if you walk across the border, he's definitely – it's not looking well, man. It's not looking well. What else? What do we got? The league had their drawing this past Friday, and before we get into another topic, I just want to briefly touch up on that. So what we found out was that Benfica will open at home against newly promoted Passos Ferreira. In the third round, they will play Porto at the Luz. And at this time, while Porto is still pre-qualifying for the Champions League, so it might be kind of a touchy moment for Porto, or a very busy time for Porto. Nonetheless, teams that start this early, and we saw Benfica start early because of the Champions League qualifying last year, they seemed a level above Benfica, Sporting and Porto as they got their championship or their league started in the fourth round. So after Porto, Benfica will go to Braga to play Braga. And then on the last round of the league, both obviously in the first round and the second round, Benfica will play at Alvalade in the Primeira Volta, and the Segunda Volta will finish the championship at Estádio Luz against Sporting. In the second half, at Porto, home to Braga and home to Sporting. So not too bad. I mean, out of all the years, it's the first time that I haven't heard many complaints about how the schedule has turned out for Benfica. Look, if you want to be champion again, you got to have to play all teams at one point or another. So it doesn't really matter how it lines up. It's going to be tricky to play Porto this early in the season and then Sporting in the last round of each of the Voltage. So, Cristiano, anything
actually,
in particular?
Last game of the season, if I'm not mistaken, is Benfica against Sporting and Porto against Braga.
Oh, yeah.
So
I forgot
you'll
about
have
that.
Most likely the top four teams in the standings facing off against each other that final weekend of the season, which hopefully by then things will be decided and Benfica will be at the top of the table.
Yeah, hopefully we won't need that game, and we could celebrate that Estádio Luz against Sporting. That would be great.
That would be great. That'd be phenomenal. You think they'll do that? What do you call it like they do?
Las cabezas pintadas.
No, they do where they
the
line
guard,
up
the guard.
The guard. You think they'll do that?
Why not?
Think Sporting will do that for Benfica?
Bruno Carvalho Sporting wouldn't. Varandas Sporting will.
I think our computer, our podcast, just caught a virus when you said that name. You got to clean it out.
It's so much fun. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
He got voted
man.
Out by the fans, bro. They don't want him.
Yeah, but he's still around, and he's going to be around. And you know,
he should take
it's
over
so
like
fun.
He should take over like a little Lisbon club.
You know what I'm most.
Well, he already took over a little Lisbon club prior, but you know, a new one.
But you know what I'm most upset about is that Rui Vitória is actually a better drummer than Bruno Carvalho. I was hoping.
Well,
Bruno
is the man. You know? Yeah.
Bombo City. Another topic, and this just resurfaced today. Benfica had the General Assembly. During that General Assembly, they give some time to the sausage to speak. They have 2 minutes to speak, if I'm not mistaken. So apparently some of the guys that went up, I don't know if they ran out of time or not, but a total of 18 guys that went up were asked to come to the Seychelles to meet with the club's director. So Luis Filipe Vieira was there, Rui Costa was there, Thiago Pinto was there, a couple other big wigs were there, and a couple things. So they were given the freedom to ask questions, and I'll just read through some of the things that came out. The naming of the stadium is definitely underway. There's also going to be some improvements to the stadium, which includes installing LED lights, which are more environmentally friendly and better. JJ will not coach Benfica again. This was said by Luis Filipe Vieira. Mourinho.
I'm not paying my quota just because of that.
Mourinho was actually the first choice, which we already had spoken about here during last season. Zé Gomes, there was an offer for Zé Gomes, 2016, there was an offer for Zé Gomes for 15 million from Barcelona, and Benfica denied it, and we all know where Zé Gomes is now and what he's been up to. Benfica Radio is on the way. It will not be called Benfica FM, so our friends over at Benfica FM can relax. Also, the Raul de Tomás deal was high due to the Garay transfer. If you recall, a few years back, Benfica transferred Garay, and Real Madrid adds at 50% of Garay, and Garay ended up where Garay he went to Zenit, right?
Zenit,
4.6 million.
Yeah, so Real Madrid felt hard done by that deal. So the relationship between Madrid and Benfica hasn't been the best. And Luis Filipe Vieira said this is why they paid this much for Raul de Tomás. So that was some of the high points to come out of this this meeting. Apparently, this was supposed to be something that was not secretive, but, there was a trust factor, meaning we're opening up our doors to you to ask whatever questions you want. But now it seems that all the content of the conversation of the meeting has spilled to the media.
What was it 12 guests, 12 sausages?
18.
18 sausages. You have one chance, and you blew it.
Don't mess it up.
You blew it. Now you messed it up for other guys in the future because of your big mouth. I mean, I hope it was worth it to you guys. I mean, to me as a Benfiquista, I'm very... And
it's disappointing.
It is. I'm very disappointed that this leaked out to everyone.
Especially Record, out of all places.
I don't care to who it was. I think if this was in-house, if this was in good faith, you know, an opportunity to open the doors for us Saucius to speak about the things that, you know, many of us have concerns about, you blew it. And now if they turn around and say, look, we tried, we gave an opportunity, we try to open the doors. You know, there's people that say this was strategic by Benfica because they knew it was going to leak. What, at the end of the day, I don't care. I think that you blew it for many people going forward. Hopefully Benfica, you know, looks past this and has these types of open dialogues with fans and Saucius going forward. I would not be surprised if they don't anymore.
Yeah.
But for those of you that were privileged enough to have that invite and go to Seychelles and go through, you know, go to places that many people around the world wish they had an opportunity to just visit, let alone sit there and speak to members of the club and, you know, big decision makers, and you freaking blew it. Disappointed in you guys.
Yeah. And something that we had been saying over here, how closed off Benfica has been. And now that there's an opportunity, you know, the opportunity is pretty much, I don't think Luis Felipe was very happy when he saw Record, and in Record there was a lot of content from the conversation that was put out. Certainly not happy in information that Benfica didn't really want to divulge.
It's a bad job.
So
was it these guys, was it were they the ones that leaked out about the possible emblem changes as well? Was that from the same article?
So that was another point that Luis Fufiera said that there will be changes to the emblem. As you recall,
well, he didn't say, from what I heard,
there's two versions.
They're
going to
look into whether they possibly tweak the emblem or not. It's they're having conversations about it. I don't think a decision's been made either way or the other, but that they're thinking about it and they're possibly going to do something, or they might just leave it alone. I think now it's just a conversation.
And there's an underground movement that's come out, and especially on social media, that the club's emblem has changed, and when it changed, so the eagle's supposed to be holding up the little, I don't know what that is, a little mantle that says the banner that says E pluribus unum. So the eagle is now sitting on top of the bicycle,
on the bicycle wheel. The claws, he's grabbing the bicycle as opposed to the banner.
Yeah, it was supposed to. So there's laws within the club that state that the emblem can't be altered, and one of the things was that. So people are, with anticipation, now they're saying, okay, what are they going to change it to? Is it going to go back to the origins and stay with the laws of and the mandates of the club? Or are we going to see something similar to Juventus?
Look, I'll have to see it first. Whomever, if they do decide to go ahead and change, I'm not opposed to it, but I would like to see what it would look like first. And then I just don't want to be one of those people that no way. I mean, it might be something for the better. We never know. I mean, look, change. At some point or another, change does happen. And if it's for the better, I'm all good for it. But I would like to see it first before I actually give you my my honest opinion. What do you think? You think you're cool with it right now, or you'd be okay with the changing it?
I think that there's certain elements that of the symbol or the emblem that need to be kept. I know that you've often spoken about the bicycle wheel. Why do Benfica have bicycle?
Because they don't even have cycling.
They don't even have cycling. But I think that you need to remain true to what the symbol is, to what the statues of the law say within the club. I would hate to see something like what Juventus went through.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, right? We were at first, we're all against selling the name, you know, the rights to Stade de Luz, the naming rights. And it's the world evolves, people change, things change. And if it's for the better, I'm all for it. I would like to see it, as I mentioned before, but I mean, I'm not against it. As long as it's something that represents the club and symbolizes the club well, I think that these logos here are a little bit outdated, maybe has to be tweaked a little bit. If there's anything, you know, that they could add, or I don't know, but I was just like, give me an idea. I want to see what I'm looking at first.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's all we have for this season. That's all we have for this podcast, this first podcast of the season. Dave, you wanted to add anything, man?
No, I think it's going to be a good preseason here. We we get to kind of relax, unlike last season where we had those Champions League qualifiers to worry about. But we have some good tests in the opponents with the ICC, so it'll be good preparation for that Supertasa match on August the 4th against
Portland. Yeah, absolutely. And we'll have we'll talk about what our expectations are as far as the season goes, as the preseason goes on, and we start seeing what some, especially the new guys, can bring, and especially with Blaž now having this much time with the team, what he's going to be able to bring to the table. I'm excited about the season. I'm excited to have Blaž from the first minute of preseason going through the season, and I'll hold my opinion until we see some more of these players play on the field. But I think that this should be a very good year for Benfica. So we'll just have to see. We will be back next week. We'll be back next week with the second episode of this new season. My name is Alfredo Fumasas, and Cristiano Oliveira and David de Oliveira have been here with me. At 10CO10 is where you can find Cristiano on Twitter. Dave is 87DO87, right? And
that's correct.
Podcast, BenficaPodcast.com. Thank you very much for listening. And here we go. Hold on tight. Season's about to start. And so are we. Take care, everyone. Later.